Blog Talk Radio.
Really wanted.
thank you, Pastor. Providing exciting the things that I needed to feel deep down in my soul to keep me whole and help me to get by. Oh, thank you, Aretha. Thank you, Sign. Woo! You also helped me to get by.
Welcome, Soul Purpose Healing. And yes, we are giving a round of applause and a standing ovation for the life of Al Jarreau, who passed on to the next level today. Al Jarreau so influenced my young life as a teenager and a young adult. His music was so very, very inspirational that I have to spend a few moments in tribute to this amazing individual, amazing soul, amazing musician, amazing preacher's kid, Al Jarreau. And in fact, he was born on March 12th, which is the same day I came into the earth, only he was 15 years earlier than me. 1940, Al Jarreau was entered into the atmosphere of earth, March 12th, 1940. And he departed February 12th, 2017. Very interesting dates there for you. But I just have to honor him at the beginning of this show because he was such a gentle soul. And I remember reading that his first priority in everything he did was to heal or comfort others. That was his number one focus on this earth. And oh, did his music bring healing and comfort to those of us who listened to him. He was married for 40 years to one person. So that certainly says a lot. And he was one of the only persons, musicians, to receive 7 Grammy Awards in different categories. He received a Grammy in jazz, pop, and R&B. And I'm going to play one of his most popular songs, Your Song, which Elton John actually wrote, but Al Jarreau took that to another level when he sang it. And just a beautiful, beautiful individual that we're going to surely miss seeing him live, but we have so much of his music to continue to be healed and soothed by. And it was only a few weeks ago that he retired from touring. His doctors actually forced him to retire from touring. And then he was admitted to a hospital. And he has had a history of respiratory and cardiac issues in his 50-year career of music and song. So, Al Jarreau, we say bravo and we applaud you. And we so thank you for your contribution to music. And we're in this love together, as he sang many times, will be always in our mind and our lips. So for those of you who didn't know Al, I suggest you go to YouTube. There are several videos you can watch and listen to and see this incredible man, how he transitioned from a young, very vibrant young man to an older man, still giving all 100%. And I think that's the nature of Pisces. That's Al Jarreau and I, and even Brother Kwame, are all under the sign of Pisces. And I think we have a tendency to work to exhaustion. That's what I know for our Brother Kwame. He had to take some time off because he was so exhausted this year. And then I had to do the same thing. I had to take a whole week off because I just work. And I think for me, Al Jarreau is kind of a wake-up call to stop trying to be so healing and comforting to others all the time and take better care of myself. To see that he was born on my birthday was like, whoa, what's that mean in the universe? And then maybe my sister in Arizona can shine some light on that. But for me, I think it's just a reminder to not work myself to exhaustion, as Al did. He gave 110%, and he was loved by many. But he's gone at 76 years old, which just seems to be too short, and yet it's a perfect timing. That was his assignment, a number four. That equals a number four for Al. And it was his assignment to give us a beautiful gift of music and singing and just dedication to his art, and just a very unique. His voice was like an instrument. And so that was the one thing. I actually met him very briefly in Chicago when I first saw him live. I was out in the hallway making a phone call, and he was passing through on the way to the stage, and I yelled out to him, "Hey, Al," and he said, "Hey, baby." Ah, just melted, and that was my first encounter to this sweet, sweet soul that blessed us in so many ways for 50 years. Wow, time has flown by. And so we just dedicating this night to him in many ways. We're going to talk about a book by Elizabeth Kubler Ross that helps us accept death and dying. And it helps us learn the different attitudes that people have. But the show is mainly focusing on Al Jarreau and his gift to us. And I'm going to play some more of his music later. But let me open the mic to my listener, faithful listener and co-host and friend and sister, Mama AZ out in Arizona. How are you this evening?
Sister, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, sister, this is deep. I am downloading from this past week of everything that has been unfolding in my life. Oh, my God. Gee, well, you, Al Jarreau, that's what you said, didn't you?
Was that news to you? Were you not aware of that?
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
It's been a lot going on in my camp, and I'm not even going to go there with you right now. Whoa, wow! And something just told me to take it off the speaker, and so I can hear you. And I'm saying, what is she playing that for? Because you're always, sister, in divine timing, in divine order. And I'm like, what's up with that? Now I know. The brother made his transition, man. This is deep. I got to I'm choosing, I'm hoping that Brother Kwame, oh God, I'm already cold and I'm getting chill bumps. This is
Are you there?
Yes.
I can't hear you.
My phone keeps flipping back and forth with the speaker and everything. Do you know that last night my brother had the opportunity, and I saw this in a dream, to sit in Asheville with Brother Santos?
Now, oh, how cool is that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now, what time did Al Jarreau leave the building?
Oh, I haven't found that out yet. No, I haven't been able to find out that out yet. Well, I'm sure that'll come forward sometime in the near future, but don't know that information.
He left yesterday or today?
Today, yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, sister, I'm going to have to take a break and get back in my room for 2 minutes because we need to talk about this. The numbers, this is very symbolic. Has Brother Kwame chimed in yet?
No, I don't see his number, but I text him because he's a Pisces too. I thought it was kind of interesting.
Flower O is Piscean. Brother Morris is Piscean. There are very prominent people in my life who are Piscean. Oh, my God. I didn't know Jarreau was a Pisces.
Yep. I didn't either. I didn't realize it. Maybe at one time I knew his birthday, but then to pull it up today, I was at a flea market today. All day in the sun. Oh my goodness, did that exhaust me. So when I was sitting there and my youngest son called me and said, Mom, guess what happened? I thought, oh dear, who died? Because I knew somebody was going to die again soon because they come in threes. And my cousin died about 3 weeks ago. My stepmother died last Sunday, and I'm going to her funeral in Chicago this week. And then I said, okay, usually these things happen in threes. And then when my son called me and said, Al Jarreau, I said, oh no, I wasn't expecting Al Jarreau. Although last week, they did announce he had been hospitalized for exhaustion. He had retired about a week ago, and then he was put in the hospital for exhaustion. And then 3 days later, he passed on. So it's really interesting how the third death shows up of someone who I met very briefly, but someone who is so dear to me. I have several songs of his on my laptop that I play all the time. And it's just awesome to have known this man for a brief moment and then to see his progression in 50 years to just work till he could work no more. He worked till his body said, that's it, buddy, I'm gone. And he shortly passed on.
Sister, that's what happened on Father's Day last year. I'm a damn fool sometimes. When I get in this body, I'm in this body, and I forget. It's like, Sagaru says, you are not this body. You are definitely not. You are not this mind. You are definitely not this body, or however he puts it. I'm understanding more and more what he really means by that.
Mm-hmm.
And being a light worker or an earth angel, we earth angels who come here for these particular assignments, sometimes we get stuck on stupid. And we get out there so far, and we can't get back.
Mm-hmm.
And that has happened a couple of times with me up there, Mothers for the Earth, and in North Carolina, where I used to reside, but that's another story right now. And my God, we don't know. That's why his music was so fantastic. He was an earth angel. And for all of you earth angels out there, you know, go up on that contraption and find out what represents an earth angel. And I'm talking to myself, people. Don't allow yourself to continue to get stuck on stupid. Know that you are in a human vessel. You do your best not to junk it up with cigarettes, alcohol, and as much nonsense as possible so that your vessel can last a little bit longer to do what you came here to do as an earth angel. Don't push the symptoms away when your body is screaming bloody murder. Don't have it to create a fall to through your whole leg so your ass can't go nowhere but sit there and reflect. Now, okay, what am I supposed to really be doing right now? You see, so take care of your house, people. And when people come at you, don't allow them to take your doggone energy. And one thing that I have found, sister, when certain people do not show up in your life and they have sworn on a stack of Bibles, honest to God, I'll be there, honest to God, and they never show up, never call, never say, sister, brother, Annie, uncle, I'm not going to be able to make it. They just never show up. What I'm finding is that is the Creator's way of protecting you from their toxic energies.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you have stuff going on that, you know, neither one of you need to be around each other until you can work through that haze, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sister, we must listen. And we can't be everybody's angel. We can't be everybody's savior. If those jackasses don't want to get up shit or get off the pot, no, even if it comes to your family, people, your children, your siblings, your mama, your daddy, your auntie, your uncle, as long as you know that you are doing things in a good way, like the medicine man Robinson told me yesterday, let it go. Let the hell leave it alone and let it go. He didn't say it like that, ever. That's how I am saying it, you see, because this is serious, sister. And you know, you always say messengers, Sister Viata. These are messengers. It used to tear my heart apart. All of my husbands and everything that was negative that came my way from them, my children. It just, I'm a Cancer. I'm a water sign. And I'm very, very sensitive. And I will lash out at you. Or I will go in my shell and I will snap at you if you rub me the wrong way, in a good way. And then sometimes I may end up going off and cussing your ass out. And it's not because I don't know the appropriate words, is that that is how I feel, like Dr. Umar. I overstand that brother, you know, even though he didn't maybe not did what he was supposed to do in a good way. I still have walked in his doggone moccasins, and I still know how he feels. And that's the bottom line. We must let these family members go, tell them to kiss it where the sun don't shine. I don't care if it's your babies. I see my mother, how she rolled with my brother. And it would hurt my heart. However, I see some things now.
Yes.
As an elder. And these are messengers, people. Everybody that mothers that you bring to this planet, all the ones that came through your gate, you were probably just the vessel to get them here to do their journey. And all of them are not going to come to take care of your behind. So you must learn, mothers. You give birth. You take care of you. You do the best that you can do with the knowledges that you have gained. And you take care of you. Because it's not a promise, you know, that those siblings are going to have your back. It's not a promise. So it always comes to home. You. If you choose to junk your body up and drink all the liquor in the world and eat all the fat back and the hog maws and the jaw jaws and everything, well, that's on you. Because everything is on the internet and you can get information to take care of your body. So take care of you, people, especially you elder sisters and the baby sisters too. Take care of you.
I'm glad that you're giving these nuggets of wisdom. But today I was at the flea market, and right next to me, a woman was selling nothing but books on her table. Just tons and tons and tons of books. She had old comic books, and she had books galore on health. And so I saw this book on her table by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, MD, called On Death and Dying. And it's subtitled, What the Dying Have to Teach Doctors, Nurses, Clergy, and Their Own Family. So one of the things that I highlighted in the book as I was reading it was about how we don't let people suffer anymore. We don't want people to suffer anymore, which she believes, and she talks about in the book, that's how people changed. You know, going through suffering, then it caused people to look at their life differently. For instance, where is it? I have to see if I can find. I was highlighting it while I was waiting for customers. I was going through highlighting it. And it just occurred to me that she was comparing physicians have more people in their waiting rooms. I want to read just a few highlights in this book because we're talking about the transition of Algero and another book that I read. But it said physicians have more people in their waiting rooms with emotional problems than they have ever had before. Now, this book was written in 1969, and she was stating what is still going on, maybe even worse, that doctors have more people in their waiting rooms with emotional problems. And that says to me that their problems are really not physical first, but they're emotional. And then they have ever had before, but they also have more elderly patients who not only try to live with their decreased physical abilities and limitations, but who also face loneliness and isolation with all its pains and anguish. And when we look back and study old cultures and people, we're impressed that death has always been distasteful But death is often seen by a child as an impermanent thing and has therefore little distinction from a divorce in which he may have an opportunity to see a parent. And she also mentions that the ancient Egyptians would supply their food and goods, would supply their dead with food and goods to keep them happy, and the old American Indians would bury their relatives with their belongings. So we've had these interesting traditions throughout history, but the one thing that that we're doing today is we're reducing suffering in people. We don't want people to suffer, so we have all this technology. That the question that has to be raised, she says, are we becoming less human or more human? This book is no way meant to be judgmental, but it's clear that whatever the answer may be, the patient is suffering more. Not physically, perhaps, but emotionally. And his needs have not changed over the centuries, only our ability to gratify them. So our society is bent on ignoring or avoiding death. And so we go to all types of extremes to keep people alive. They're basically, you go in a hospital, they're going to do all these things to help you stay alive when in the olden days, people died at home. They stayed home. They didn't rush them off to a hospital. They took their time doing what they could do, smelling food in, from the kitchen and talking to relatives as they laid on their deathbed. And there's less and less interpersonal contact today. And so war is teaching us, is war perhaps nothing else but a need to face death, to conquer and master it? So today our society is so different. And we can look at the differences in how people dealt with death years ago and how they're dealing with it today. And she talks about that they did several experiments with hundreds of patients. And she goes through the different attitudes on death and dying and the five stages of death. She goes through there are actually chapters talking about the five stages of death. I always thought these were the stages of grief. You know, that when a relative dies, and then people go through these stages of grief before they get to acceptance. But she's talking about where these five stages come from are actually the stages that people who are dying go through. First stage being denial and isolation. Second stage being anger, third stage being bargaining, fourth stage being depression, and then the fifth stage is acceptance. So you could almost use or apply these same stages to those who are in grief about someone who has passed away, or you can look at it as these are the attitudes when people are given a diagnosis that they're going to die. This is these are the attitudes that they go through. So I'm going to take a little music break here and play a little something from Al Jarreau, who we're honoring today. This one is Your Song. This is a very beautiful translation, if you will, of a song that was written by another artist. But Al Jarreau takes this song to another level. I can't remember the guy's name, but I'll think of it. But let's listen
to
Al Jarreau and Jimmy.
To be back with you.
Al Jarreau
in Hamburg. He's
traveled all over the world. He's in Hamburg, Germany, about to sing
a
song by Elton John.
Busy, but very nice time. On the continent here, a lot of that time spent in Germany since we left here in Hamburg. Special place, Hamburg. I hope you understand me, all of you, those at home and you folks here too, just to say that you got the blood going for us when we first came here, you know. You got it going for us, you know. Such a warm reception and send-off here in Hamburg at Uncle Purr's. And it's nice to come back. Almost like home. So, good to be with you, and we're going to do some more music.
Oh, Leave us a chain on the dock of the bay, watching the tide rolling away. I'll be thinking of you, love, sweet memories too, all of you.
Just joining us, we are paying a tribute to Al Jarreau, who passed on to another level of the journey, the spiritual journey today. And this man and I shared the same birth date, March 12th. He was 15 years older than myself, but I so loved his music all my life. I still play his music on my laptop. And he was one of those messengers that greatly influenced my life. His music was very soothing, very clean. Oh, just clean music. We miss that clean music today. So many of these popular artists are singing all kinds of languages, prayer, curse words, rap, whatever. And Al Jarreau had a very unique way of using his voice like an instrument. And I will forever be grateful for his contribution to the music world. And my stepmother passed last week. She was another influential person in my life. So these past 2 weeks, I'm saying goodbye to people who have been very influential and very inspiring. My stepmother was so inspiring, influential, and taught me how to sew, how to cook, how to clean. And I'll be going to Chicago to her funeral this weekend. And so this is a unique time for me to reflect on the messengers in my life and what they mean, and to be grateful. I'm so grateful for my stepmother, grateful for Al Jarreau, and whoever the next person who's going to leave the planet, I don't know, but I'll find a way to express gratitude if I've known them. This is a time for us to learn how to be grateful for everything. We have enough stress in our country with Donald Trump being elected president and people hating on him. And this is just a really unique time and a challenging time for many of us to up our nutritional intake and to spend more time in nature, on the beach, in the forest, with the horses, with the cows who aren't stressed like these humans are on the planet. It's a time for us to chill and really breathe deeply through this challenging time. I was talking to a friend of mine, Beth Harris, today, and we were reflecting even on the fact that is a shadow reflection of what we have been doing over the past 8 years, killing people in other countries, dropping bombs on other countries. And now people are saying, even Deepak Chopra, I was listening to an interview of Deepak Chopra, even Deepak Chopra is saying that our president is mentally unstable. And so when you hear things like that, we're reflecting on the fact that we got exactly what we deserve. Because for so long, what has been going on in our country, I have been saying, this is insane. This is crazy. This is insane what we're doing. Why are we bombing 7 countries? Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we forcing vaccinations on children? Why are they trying to give 6 vaccinations to a child at birth who's preemie and then the child dies? It's insane. So what do we get? We get a reflection kind of in the White House now of the insanity that we have sowed into the Earth's energetic atmosphere, and now people are upset about it because we don't understand the metaphysical aspect of this journey. We don't understand the spiritual karmic aspect of this journey, and we're confused. Now, I have to share this with you, and I want to get some feedback from our listeners, especially if you have anything you want to say about Al Jarreau, how he influenced your life, because this is kind of a tribute to the man. And if he influenced you, if you loved his music or whatever, feel free to press one and make a comment. But I was led to see a movie called Jupiter Ascending. I think it was Kwame and Mother Witt last week referred me to this movie, Jupiter Ascending, about a woman named Jupiter who was actually a queen from another planet. And she was taken through this ordeal where they were trying to kidnap her. And she was considering herself an illegal alien. Now, I really identified with this movie for two reasons. And by the way, when I text my two sons, my two 30-something-year-old sons, and said, have you ever seen this movie, Jupiter Ascending? And both of them responded, oh, it was a bunch of trash. Don't waste your time. Don't even bother. It was nothing, nothing to it. And it was just negative, negative. My young son had said it was a cool story, but the movie still sucks. It's very horrible. Please don't waste an hour of your time. So I thought, well, that's really funny, because after I watched it the first time, I thought, wow, that was so helpful for me in my love-hate relationship with bees. Because I've been having this relay. Mama Maisie knows how I've been having a hard time with these bees. Every time I go out to sit in the chair in the sun near my house, the bees come around me. I'm like, what is this? They're buzzing outside my window. They're buzzing around my car. I even drove my car one day to on the way to work, and I stopped at this blueberry farm. And I rolled down my window to ask the lady, well, how much are the blueberries? And she said, you know, you have a bee sitting on your shoulder, or no, on the seat of my on the driver's seat. And I looked behind me, and sure enough, there was a bee. I jumped out of the car, and I said, oh, my goodness, get out of my car, get out of my car. And I wonder how long that, and the bee had to be in there from the time I left home for about half an hour, just sitting on my shoulder of my seat while I drove, because I had the windows closed. So when she said that, I thought, how did that bee sit there all that time? And I didn't even know it was there. It didn't sting me. So in this movie, Jupiter Ascending, this woman has this, there's this scene where this woman is surrounded by hundreds of bees. And she's like, what's wrong with these bees? And she's like moving her arms and trying to swash, get them away from her. And then she starts realizing they're not even biting her. And she's just waving her arms and she's smiling at these bees. And so they tell her that, and I don't know how true this is, but she says, they say bees genetically are designed to recognize royalty. And when I heard that in this movie, I thought, I need to really chill about these bees. I need to calm down with the bees, because that's what's happening to me with the bees. They're not stinging. They're landing on my foot. I'm gradually just getting peace about the bees. And they're landing on me, and they're just crawling around on me. And I'm like trying to stay calm, because usually I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm going to get stung by these bees. But this movie talks about this woman being a queen or royalty of some kind. And that's why they're trying to kidnap her. And in the end, she gets rescued and all that. But what it did was just help me to calm down with the bees. Whether I'm royalty or I don't need to be called Your Majesty like they were calling her in the movie, but it just helped me to realize maybe these bees are attracted to me for some reason that I just don't understand. And that movie kind of took me to another level of understanding that maybe these bees are attracted to me because I'm not of this planet. Sometimes I feel like that when I'm talking to people. I'm really not of this planet. And yet, every now and then, messengers show up, and we're all of the same planet. And I realize, okay, it's just a few of us come together. And even people like Al Jarreau, I just reflect on that maybe he wasn't from this planet either. Because he just gave like nobody I've ever seen, and he had a heart of gold. And he was a child of a pastor's kid, and he and I born on the same day, and I'm looking at all these similarities thinking, yeah, he was an illegal alien too. So I have to laugh now when we look at people from a totally different perspective and begin to just have gratitude, just feel gratitude No, sir. I did have I got a little teary-eyed watching some of Al Jarreau's later videos when he was much older, and just feeling his music and feeling his love come from him, and to realize that he's gone to another level now, and just breathing. And I realized too, when I talk about deep breathing as worship, that someone like Al Jarreau was doing that as a career in singing, because singers have to use their breath in a very special way to bring those notes out. And because Al Jarreau used his voice like an instrument, I think he had a special breathing pattern that most musicians, most artists do not have. For him to make those sounds like instruments and to be able to sing for 50 years, wow, what a messenger. So we can just be so grateful for having had him on this planet. And then movies, if you haven't seen the movie Jupiter Ascending, I would love to have somebody else watch that movie and tell me that it was actually a good message in the movie, unlike my two sons who thought it was garbage. I was actually impressed with that movie in the message that it brought. Mom Maisie, your mic is back open. Have you seen that movie, Jupiter Ascending, or have you heard about it?
Not yet. I heard about it, but I haven't seen it. Okay, sister, this is really, really interesting. Al Jarreau, he's a Piscean. He left in the Aquarian realm, and today is February, right?
Right.
It's February 12th, 2017. And if you add up all of those digits to the gateway, the feminine wisdom, the scale, justice, and so on and so on, and then the day, the 12th, that's a 3, so 2 and 3 is 5, and then 2017 is a 1, correct?
Right.
So if you add up all of those digits, today is a 6, and I find that ironic that my brother was on the plane. They had a gig up in Asheville, and my brother was able to sit in, but we'll talk about that at another time. That's very symbolic because he was in the air, maybe, possibly, when Al had his initial crossover. I'm not sure, but we'll find out. But when is his Earth Day? It's 3 what?
12, March 12th.
Okay. Okay, so that's 3.
That's a 10 or a 1. He's born in 1940.
Okay, thank you. Okay, 1940. All right. And if you add up all of those digits, okay, 3, 1, 2 is 6. And then when you have an equation with nines in it, those nines are invisible. So remember that, but you can add those nines to get your head equipped to wrap it around that you don't really need to add those digits of 9 up. So in 1940, you have a 5 left, okay, and 5 and 6 is what?
11.
Holy moly. Sister, that's a master number. He came here as a 2. He came here to open up the gate. 2 represents also the gateway to other dimensions. That's what his music did. One of the major things that his music did opened up the mind to other dimensions. Justice, the scale, the feminine wisdom, dropping knowledges, you know, of the feminine wisdoms. And when you say balance, the scale, balance, because you can't walk without, generally, without both legs and be in balance. And, and he brought a lot of, through his music, I'm sure, a lot of harmony and justice to this planet. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
wow, that's deep. And so he left as a six. Now, check this out. He left as a six. He came as an eight. I mean, wait a minute. Let me stay off point. All right. He left as a six. He came as a two. So six and two is what?
That's eight.
Presents abundance. Eight represents the eagle. Eight represents you can build or destroy. Many eights are never, they, if they manage their monies right, they never are without money to do what they have to do. And also, going back to eight, the eagle, eagle can see where mounts cannot on the ground. An eagle has an aerial view. Mounts has a tunnel vision view. And so not only that, in some parts of his life, like his music, eights, when they're dead on something, you know, teaching or music or painting, when eights are dead on their craft, they are really bitching about getting it just right. They can see if it's a millimeter off, and they know it. Especially if it's care about, they are hell to deal with, you know, if they have made up in their mind, and especially if they're artists, they're never satisfied unless it is right, and they can see things that you can't. If you got 1 inch degree off, a lot of times eights can pick that up. They can see that because they have that natural eye. Or if it's music, they can hear it. So I can look and see that this man was phenomenal. And to, he
well,
chose to do.
Yeah, let me read something from his website. A few days ago, I was asked to describe Al to someone who knew of his success but did not know him as a person. I responded with this. His second priority in life was music. There was no third. His first priority, far ahead of the other, was healing or comforting anyone in need, whether it was emotional pain or physical discomfort or any other cause of suffering. He needed to put our minds at ease and our hearts at rest. He needed to see a warm, affirming smile where there had not been one before. Song was just his tool for making that happen. So can you imagine? I mean, he was a perfectionist at making people smile and feeling warm. The song, you know, I'm sure he was in tune with every note that he believed would bring that smile or bring that warmth. And so song was just his tool for making that happen. So he had an ear for knowing how to make that happen. And a few things I think he wanted mentioned right now to Al's wife, son, sister, brothers, and family. You allowed Al to share himself with the world. He was grateful that you gave him that gift. He knew it was difficult and regretted that more than he could explain. Please know that your gift for it was to us, too, and that we are all so grateful. That is so true for me. To everyone who attended his concerts and listened to his albums, he needed you. You always were there for him for more than 50 years. He was thankful for you every day, did his best to show that to each of you. to his band and to the many, many talented musicians, writers, composers, and arrangers who played and collaborated with Al over the years. You enabled, supported, and thrilled him. He treasured you and considered you brilliant. He loved sharing the stage with you, was honored that you shared it with him. To each promoter, presenter, and producer, thank you for your faith in him. Your commitment to Al was both essential and endless, and he never took you for granted. And he appreciated you completely. To young people everywhere, especially the musicians, he was grateful to meet at school workshops, musical competitions, residencies, concerts. From you, Al, ask a favor. Please find any artistic thing that you can do with passion and do it. With art in your life, you will be a better family member, neighbor, friend, and citizen. Finally, to Al Jarreau, thank you, Al, from all of us. You completed your ministry in a beautiful and gracious way. You've, Godspeed, you've earned it. So that was a note from his website. And so I just wanted to honor him tonight and to just remind us all that we go through these, we have these attitudes about death and dying, as this author has written a book about death and dying, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And we can read books like that and we can learn from her, but music like Al Jarreau gave us can really help us, you know, run, walk through this life, skip through this life with more joy, knowing that we had such a person who was so dedicated to helping us smile and feel good about ourselves. And his music was so clean and so beautiful. So this is kind of my show for tonight. I just wanted to really celebrate him and honor him. So if you have any other comments, questions, anyone listening, we're going to cut this show short tonight because I've got a really early day tomorrow, and I just wanted to give honor to him. I didn't want to stretch the show out too long, and just want everybody to kind of reflect on Al Jarreau. Listen to some of his music tonight if you can, or just listen to some good music. That's the main thing. Listen to some good music. Let him be a reminder that there is there are artists out there like the brother that your brother was listening to, Santos, that yes. speak words of honor. You know, we've lost that art a lot in many, for many songs. We don't have the honor back in the words that are being sung. So let's promote and support those artists that are doing what we clearly know Al was doing, was bringing a smile and a feeling of warmth to us.
Well, sister, I'm just grateful that today ended like it did. My brother, he should be back in Phoenix now from North Carolina. Miracles, people, do happen. Prayers rolling. My daughter sends me high heel sneaker prayers. Keep them high heel sneaker prayers rolling, or high prayers, or whatever prayers that resonate with your spirit. And know that the Most High always has your back, and that is being taught to me in a most miraculous way. So I want to give a shout out to my brother Bobby P, Bobby Paris, my beautiful, beautiful brother, Brother Joseph D. Lloyd, and Brother Santos, and all of those angels. And Flower Omega just left here, her and her tribe, Dr. Stanley, all of them, Miss Sue, Vanilla Bright's World, everybody, Miss Michelle, everybody. And let's keep our prayers and meditations rolling. If you can't do anything else, go and do your prayers and your meditations. And always, always trust that the Creator has your back. Thank you, Sister Viata. Thank us. Thank us for the Kwame.
And I'm going to try and play After All by Al Jarreau. It's on my iTunes. I'm not sure how it's going to play out here, but I'm going to open up. Oh, that's perfect, I think. Can you hear that, Mom Maisie?
No, ma'am. I can't hear a thing.
You can't hear a thing?
No, ma'am, I don't hear anything but us.
Okay.
But you talking. I still don't hear it.
I'm still here. I'm trying to get my music playing, but it's not going to do right. Let
okay.
me see. Well, I'm going to go back to We Got By, which I think a lot of people missed that song in the beginning. We Got By was Al Jarreau's first album. And so I'm going to go ahead and play that one because it's just so beautiful. It's so pure and clean. And it's just...
Bye-bye.
I'm talking about getting back. Thank you, Mama. Really want to thank you, Papa. Deep down in my soul to keep me whole and help me to get back. Oh, thank you, Aretha. Thank you, Sly. Woo! You ought to help me to get back.
One and only Al Jarreau. Now, I do have some announcements to make. For those of you who want to continue to honor Al Jarreau, his last album was dedicated to George Duke. I'm going to have to pick up that album. I missed that one. I used to love George Duke's music, and so I'm going to have to buy that one and just continue honoring him by listening to that voice. And this week, this Tuesday, is actually the annual 1 billion rising. This Tuesday is 1 billion rising. And this is the event where women are dancing all over this planet. They're dancing to end the sexual abuse and the child trafficking and all the abuse. In fact, I'll be on our way out. I'm going to play a song called Break the Chain. Debbie Allen is featured in the video for Break the Chain and the annual 1 billion rising. So you can go online, and if you Google 1 billion rising, you'll be able to find out more information on what's happening in your community to have women dancing all over the planet, and men too. I think men are invited to do dance as well, to end the suffering, some of the suffering and the abuse that women have been going through. So don't miss that. And then, of course, Tuesday evening, we'll be back with Crow Voices, voices from Montana, Gary Owen, Montana, on the reservation with the Crow Nation. Wednesday, Mama AZ and I'll be back with Rainbow Coalition of Rock Medicine Women. And then Wednesday or Thursday morning, I'm taking off to Chicago to prepare for a funeral for my stepmother on Saturday. But I'll be doing a show Thursday night with Beth Harris Ministries, on the Ancient Path. And if you missed the Female Solution last Friday, you missed an amazing show. Beth gave us her testimony about her childhood and marital abuse and how she got into her international ministry. And then we had a brother come on Friday, Walter Bland, with some beautiful music and how he and Sister Patricia DeShazor, I think her name, are doing some amazing musical ministry in the cities with the youth of America, especially African American youth. They're putting together symphony orchestras. They're putting together symphony orchestras throughout the country in the African American community. And if you missed the show, you can go to the Female Solution blog talk show and listen to Friday's show. It was a beautiful, amazing show about the music that's going to be put on throughout the country. And then on Friday, I may or may not be back on the Female Solution. I'll be in Chicago, and I'm not sure if I'll have the internet or connection, but more than likely I'll be on again Friday morning, 8 o'clock Eastern time on the Female Solution, talking about maybe the new school that is being put together in Chicago by some Black Israelites. So that's kind of the calendar for the week. If anybody has any comments or questions, now's your time to press 1 and speak your mind. Otherwise, I'm going to go out. Oh, yes. Did you have a comment?
Yes, ma'am. I have a question. The brother who is musically assisting with the youth, I'd like to be able to have a way to reach out to him. Well, if it's okay, I'm going to reach out to you right after the show because I need to inform you on some things, if that's okay with
yes,
you.
Yes, yes. And Walter Bland, we can connect with Walter Bland. That's the brother who was on. We played some of his music. In fact, I am going to be featuring his music on this show, Soul Purpose Healing. I Am No Longer a Victim is the song he wrote. I almost fell out my chair as I listened to it. I said, oh my goodness, we need to play that all over the country in Black communities. I Am No Longer a Victim. It's actually a woman singing the song about a relationship he had, but then the chorus comes over and over again, how I'm no longer a victim, and I'm going to have to play that one until we really get it, because we really are not victims. If one thing that movie showed me, Jupiter Ascending, that is for anyone who has the mind to know that we really are not of this planet, that we are star seeds of light on this planet. And many of us come from other planets, but all of us come from a star somewhere, and we land on certain planets. That's how I see it. And so we really are very special when we have the consciousness to ascend in that mindset, that we have this very special mission. We have a very special assignment. Each one of us are here, like Al Jarreau, to do something special. And we need to get busy doing that, because we really, this is the divided states of America now. We'll forget the United. We're united in the future. We're hopeful, and our intention is to once again be united, but it ain't happening right now. So let's just be real. It's divided states of America, and all of us who are conscious, we're working to bring some unity back and some love back into this country, because Trump's on the scene, our new messenger of the day. Or if you are a messenger to teach us and to show us how karma works, basically. We have attracted Trump now. After all those years with Obama, this is what we get. So we are not a righteous nation anymore. We have righteous people in this nation, and we're all working together with one mind to break the chain. That's what we're going to do. So that's what I'm going to play now, and we're going to say goodnight as we go to Break the Chain. This is the theme song for 1 Billion Rising. And February 14th, we want everybody to go to the website for 1 Billion Rising and find out what's going on in your community. But listen to the beautiful words of this song. And then I'll see you back here on Tuesday. Shalom.